mentioned the Washington Post article who talked to her, and she says, you know, I'm frustrated by this entire process. You know, I put my application in. I've been in this position since basically February. What's going on? So I think there's a little frustration there. And then I think the other piece of this is, one thing to remember, she was on detail to the White House from the Director of National Intelligence's office. So her detail actually ends, from what I'm told, August 9th. So it's maybe just been one of those times where things kind of fit together. She knew she was no longer in the running for the top job and said, you know what, I've been here long enough. Maybe it's time to do something else. Maybe it's time to affect change in a different way. So I wouldn't read into this in two ways. Number one, she was not being considered for the job. So she said, well, I'm going to find something else to do. And you know, maybe it was just time. I think she was in the government for 30 months, which is not a long time by most standards. But, you know, she's, I think, someone who has high expectations and wants to drive change and wants to be in a place where she feels empowered to do that.
Well, it's kind of interesting because she now says she wanted the job. She put in her application. And the Post, I believe, and also the Wall Street Journal and several other sources have reported that as many as 30 people have been approached, and quite a number have simply turned down the job.
Well, there's a lot of concern. I think this was among her concerns as well about the placement of this cyber person, the cyber coordinator, in the White House. Now, remember, originally there was a big push from the CSIS Commission on the Cybersecurity for the 44th Presidency to put this person as a deputy assistant to the president. Now, in the White House, it's all about your title, and we have to keep that in mind. And the fact is that a deputy assistant to the president has direct access to President Obama. Where this cyber person will live falls under two separate, very powerful, very strong personality people: Lawrence Summers, who runs the National Economics Council, and General James Jones, who runs the National Security Council. So in some ways, you have a double line, you know, pointing to those two people and you know, not necessarily direct access to the president. And I think with cybersecurity, the argument's been made over and time and again that this is not a Homeland Security issue, it's a national security issue. And I think, you know, Melissa was one of many who said, you know what, I don't want to get into that mess.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it's one thing if you report to, say, the security advisor, General Jones, Tommy Jones, and then Jim Jones, excuse me. But then you add, I guess this was a lot of the White House infighting that went on before this announcement of the position, and somehow the financial side of the White House advisory, led by Lawrence Summers, got its mitts on this job, and therefore it's also a dual reporting, as you just mentioned, to Lawrence Summers. That's really, I think, probably the nail in the coffin for a lot of people that might have taken the job, maybe if it had only reported to General Jones.
Right, or just Lawrence Summers. I mean, let's look at the other side of it. The point is that when you're reporting to two people with strong personalities, you're going to be pulled potentially in two different directions, and your impact, your influence is going to be less as well, because you have these other two strong guys who are very smart, who are very well-equipped to do their job. You're going to be kind of pushing a boulder uphill, maybe in some respects. Now, and don't forget, now DOD announced their cyber command. We've talked about that a number of times. So as things kind of are building up around you, the power structure or your ability to affect change is, on the surface at least, decreasing.
We're talking with Jason Miller, the executive editor of Federal News Radio, on the resignation of Melissa Hathaway. And there's also the issue of the fact that there might be no budget, really, with that position. And not only would you not have a lot of authority, but you would also probably be the bag person if, say, another outbreak happened of a denial of service attack or some other kind of cybersecurity breach. That's the person that whose belly button would be pushed. Yet they wouldn't have had a whole lot to do with policies that might have prevented whatever it is that happened.
And that's absolutely true. And what's totally still unclear about this position is staffing, resources, where it actually sits, how does it work with the federal CIO, Vivek Kundra, as well as the federal CTO, Neesh Chopra, and how it all kind of fits together in the overall scheme of things. I mean, if you look at what the previous cyber positions did, which has mainly been, you know, the OMB e-government IT administrator position. Karen Evans, who, you know, we've talked many times on your show, she was the real spearhead behind the cybersecurity. There had always been positions in the White House, but the position was not very strong. It was not held by people who had personalities that pushed out cyber. They were focused on other areas in terms of their portfolio. And the OMB position was really the one that really led the cyber initiatives in many respects. Well, if you move that to the White House, there was no clear way of how everything is going to fit together. And I think that maybe also led to some frustration, not just with Ms. Hathaway, but I think with some of the other people who said, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this.
Because you do hear Anish Chopra talking about cybersecurity, CTO, and you also hear Vivek Kundra, the CIO, talking about cybersecurity. And since there is a lot of involvement between the private sector and the government going forward as they work out cybersecurity policy, maybe Anish Chopra is the place, maybe he should just get the job in addition to his duties now.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting thought in the fact that he is supposed to look across, you know, kind of horizontally across areas. So he's not focused on one agency or one specific policy area. He's focused on healthcare, big, broad stuff, climate change, education. So cybersecurity in his role, he would cut across all the agencies. Now, you could look back and say, well, maybe it should go back to OMB with Vivek Kundra's, because that's where it's traditionally been. You bring together the management side, the budget side, so you bring together some of the big pieces, and I think that's one of the reasons why Karen Evans and before her Mark Forman were among the ones that really were the spearhead of cybersecurity, because they had those two pieces together. Now, this administration and others in the cyber community wants to, what they believe, raise the influence, raise the, where cyber sits by putting it in the White House, but, you know, they've set it up in a way that may be a recipe for failure.
Well, they've said also, the White House staff has said that we are not interested, and I think the president said this in his May 29th speech, that we do not want to regulate the private sector in how it operates with respect to cybersecurity, even though it does operate most of the critical infrastructure that needs to be protected, but they want to jointly develop standards that both sides, the government and industry, can work with. And the Wall Street Journal version of this story says today that Ms. Hathaway had recommended regulating the private sector directly, and that's one of the reasons she fell out of favor. But that's speculation.
I think there is some move to what they're calling collaborate more closely with the private sector. I heard Anish Chopra speak last week at an Information Security and Privacy Advisory Board meeting, which is a group of both government and industry experts who kind of advise NIST on security and privacy issues. And he said, listen, I've been meeting with the banking industry, I've been meeting with the healthcare industry, I'm going to meet with other industries and talk not just cyber, but how technology fits into their plans, but cybersecurity is a huge role. He said, look, he goes, from the very beginning with health IT, cyber has been one of the main issues that we've talked about. And he talked about, for instance, his meetings with the banking industry. And he said to me, I'm expecting to make an announcement in the next few weeks about how the financial services, the banking industry, we're going to work closer together. And it wasn't just all about cyber, but I think cyber is a huge piece of that. And so the theme here is not regulation, but collaboration and coordination. Because, and we've heard this, Tom, you've heard this many times, the private sector, runs 80 to 90% of all the critical infrastructure. So there's got to be that coordination and collaboration.
All right. Well, what else are you working on today, Jason?
Well, ironically, if you will, I'm off to a cybersecurity conference this morning.
The Secret Service one.
Yes, the Secret Service one, and DHS, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, speaks this morning at 8:45, so I'm off to see her speak, and then I'll get some other good speakers throughout the day from Justice Department. Our friend Alan Paller will be there as well speaking, so it should be a pretty good conference. I'm sure the buzz will be about Ms. Hathaway.